Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, this is Dr. Toni, and I'm with Dr. Lisa.
Yay!
And we are finally getting back to the second part of a little series that we started last year on episode 153 about we talked about super brain, mom brain. Right? I almost started saying super brain, Lisa, and then I switched it to, I started with mom brain. I switched it to super brain.
Because we do have the brain turns. It's pretty amazing what it can do, right? We might not feel like it's gotten better, but it has in some ways after having a baby.
Absolutely. Our brains literally change after having a baby just to, again, adapt to our new role as parents. So and that can have some shifts in how we really see our brains perform when it comes to, you know, different tasks, remembering certain words, all of those kind of things that can happen after we have kids. And today we wanted to continue that kind of conversation on our brains and talk about some of the changes that a lot of women experience when they're going through perimenopause and into menopause. Really about over 60% of women during this transition and during the menopausal transition report changes in their ability to concentrate, think clearly, remember things, and even make use of new info, which again can be a little disheartening as we're getting through those hormone fluctuations and into our menopausal years. Most perimenopausal women, so in that time frame before you get to menopause, that, you know, year after your last menstrual period. So most women in that perimenopausal time before menopause experience anywhere between 15 to 20% increase in forgetfulness compared to their premenopausal levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting what it affects, right? So the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, may apply for a period of time until post-menopause. And then the changes can, you know, things can improve again, but there is the biggest difference in short-term learning. So you do a certain task or a test, and let's say you don't do so well, and then you do it again a little while later, you probably don't improve. So that's a little bit disheartening, right, Toni? But it's not, you know, it's not, the changes aren't forever, because there have been studies to show that, you know, postmenopausally, maybe after a period of 6 years from your last menstrual period, things can start to improve again. Your brain may start to adapt to what's like the low estrogen environment that's happened as you're shifting through perimenopause and menopause, right?
And thankfully, I'm glad we said that right away.
Yes, I know, because I thought it would sound like really a lot of doom and gloom. It's all downhill.
And it's not. Again, our brains do recover. And so it's interesting because, again, there's this kind of estrogen theory that, or estrogen hypothesis, that our estradiol, specifically the 17-beta estradiol, has a neuroprotective effect. So it really protects our brain cells and our brain tissue. And which is interesting when we do look, and we'll talk in a few minutes about the ways to really support our brain so that our brains really thrive and ways that we can actually reduce the aging of our brains, which again, you know, research is showing that that's possible. So yay. And, you know, especially as we're going it through perimenopause into menopause, we're definitely seeing fluctuations of estrogen, that estradiol, and we're overall lowering our levels of estrogen and also progesterone. And what those hormones do have an impact on our brain. You know, we have kind of hormone receptors all over our body, and that definitely includes the brain. And while, again, these receptors are in both women and men, there's definitely some differences that way. So there's what they really see is that estrogen can affect several areas of our brains that influence our cognitive function, influence our mood, influence our behavior. And there again is the thought that the estrogen really protects the brain from harmful substances and some of the damage that's associated with aging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? It has so many effects that we don't realize. We usually think estrogen, okay, yeah, that's, you know, doing something in my menstrual cycle. Maybe it's helping with some breast development, you know, growth of the uterine lining, but we're realizing it influences everything from protecting the brain against toxins to regulating how we transport and use glucose. It influences our mitochondria, which are powerhouses in our cells, including in our brain. And this helps us make energy like ATP in the brain too. So we know there's so many effects that estrogen has, even in the signaling, the way the brain cells communicate to each other. And we're realizing as well, research is noticing that estrogen goes through the blood-brain barrier. The brain can also produce estrogen from cholesterol. So that's a really interesting tidbit, right? Because the drive to really like extremely lower cholesterol, is that going to serve us, right? So we want to be conscious of that as well. And when we get into menopause and the estrogen is, you know, more lower in perimenopause, it's kind of up and down. So in that menopause period, there is a significant reduction in brain glucose activity, which then influences those mitochondria. So the energy, the bioenergetics of the brain is really disrupted. And we know estrogen also protects DNA from damage. So that's one possible theory why women live longer. I think there's more to that. But estrogen does have supports by supporting the expression of many antioxidant enzymes, so reducing that damage to the DNA as well. So it's so fascinating from all of these levels how it influences our brain health and just how important it is to ideally, you know, like women who unfortunately, you know, some women have to have one or two ovaries removed, a hysterectomy. We know that that does influence even the density in the spine. And even in the brain, the density of the neurons. This has been studied in animals. So in female rats, there was a 30% loss in spine density when they had their ovaries removed. And when they were given estrogen replacement, it recovered. So that density came back. So it's pretty fascinating.
Absolutely. And, you know, so especially with, you know, you just mentioned again, kind of the studies in rats and showing that kind of that benefit of the estrogen. So probably a lot of you out there may be thinking, okay, well, so my estrogen goes down. Let me just take some estrogen when I'm going through perimenopause or into menopause. And I mean, there's definitely some benefits to menopausal hormone therapy, especially when it is started within 10 years of menopause. And again, so that menopause is that a year after your last menstrual period. And now we're seeing with the research that it looks like the greatest impact of that kind of hormone replacement therapy or menopause replace or hormone therapy is in really helping to support some of the other things that we can experience in perimenopause and menopause, which would be kind of improving sleep, reducing depression, reducing our cardiovascular risks that also can really increase going into menopause. There is a little bit of data that hormone therapy will prevent the memory changes after surgical menopause in younger women. So again, that's not that natural menopause, but you know, menopause that happens after, again, that removal of ovaries. Now, and it's interesting because there's some research that really shows older women with estrogen therapy or combined therapy have slightly negative outcomes when it comes to their brain health and cognition when it comes to therapy. So I don't know if we can say at this point right now, oh yes, like, you know, taking hormone replacement therapy or again, bringing in these hormones, increasing your levels of estrogen with, you know, synthetic estrogen or even bioidentical estrogen will help to support our brains, period. So because there's a lot of different factors when it comes to also our brain health. So I think there's definitely going to be, of course, more research needed on that, right?
I know. I think, unfortunately, like women have been neglected a lot, right? We still don't know a lot of what's going on with the hormones and the brain in women. So, you know, men's health is studied extensively. Now there's more researchers rallying for studies specifically on women, not just kind of as a side effect of a study including men and women and having like a small little arm of women, but actually focusing specifically on females. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see what's uncovered. And then a lot of the studies in the past on hormone therapy have been started in older women. They might have been more synthetic types, oral forms of estrogen, whereas we're realizing topical works differently in the body. You know, it doesn't increase the risk of clotting, for example, like oral estrogen does, because it's not metabolized the same way. So I think there's still a lot to unpack there. And we do know that menopausal hormone replacement therapy, you know, we know it can help you sleep better. It can help reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease and your risk for depression, because with low estrogen, there's low mood. All of those are risk factors for Alzheimer's disease, right? And there's so many more things we can look at, you know, the genetic component to Alzheimer's disease. This is obviously loss of cognition to the extreme, right? But cardiovascular disease, poor blood sugar control, diabetes, right, which we now are calling dementia type 3 diabetes. So we saw with estrogen, it influences the glucose transportation in the brain and how it's utilized. So it's no wonder if, you know, we're not able to process glucose like we once used to, there can be that damage to the brain and that can influence our cognition and affect memory too. Even a history of concussion, that can be potentially, you know, a contributing factor to cognitive issues, thyroid disease and underfunctioning thyroid, a waist circumference that's bigger than 88 centimeters, hypertension, for example. So there's so many contributing factors. And I think any mom can attest, if you're not sleeping, you're going to forget things the next day, right? So how does that influence the brain in the long term? That can be a huge factor. And in menopause, this day and age, a lot of women are in the sandwich generation, caring for kids that are still potentially living at home, as well as caring for aging parents that may be living with them as well, or they're constantly, you know, going to their care to help them out.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where when we're looking at, especially if you have in your family and you've experienced how challenging and difficult it is with parents or grandparents who have different forms of dementia, Alzheimer's disease, or other neurological conditions, and that really can freak you out in terms of like really wanting to protect your brain and really not wanting to go there and being more concerned about aging gracefully. And interestingly enough, you know, with what you just said, Lisa, looking at, you know, the stress we're under, you know, if you're experiencing burnout, if you're experiencing poor sleep, or not nourishing yourself well, if you're restricting your calories, dieting to a certain extent, and especially certain nutrient deficiencies, of course, will impact our brains and how our brains age, especially looking at nutrients like iron, vitamin B12, omega-3, vitamin D, and even how we're exercising our brain, right? It's kind of one of those things, if you don't use it, you lose it. So those are all really pieces to kind of look at in terms of the different factors that can really influence how our brains age as we go through this transition through perimenopause and into menopause.
Yeah, I think that's so key, right? Like, I read Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind, and he talks about, it's about psychedelics, but he talks about as we get older, our brains, our thoughts, our habits are so linear. We get stuck in the same patterns, the same way of thinking, of reacting. So really putting ourselves out there and making us see things differently in different ways. And I'm not saying through psychedelics, it has to be, but it can be through breathing or just having the intention to, you know, use your senses in a different way. And learning something new, you know, doing some dance classes, taking a, you know, learning another language, using the app Duolingo, which I just heard about from my friends. So I'm going to check that out. And, you know, I'm really happy to hear things like Wordle. Octurtle is Wordle on steroids. It's like 8 Wordles in one. Those are really fun for your brain too, just to get it to work in different ways. Because unfortunately, we get stuck in our patterns and our neurological kind of tracks and pathways are very fixed, then they don't have to be, but we need to take that step to mix it up. Is it brushing your teeth with your left hand? Is it, we talked to Charmaine a long time ago about, you know, movements, etc., and even just like walking in a slightly different way, walking backwards around the track, you know, crawling somewhere. It sounds so strange, but just not doing the same thing day in and day out can be so beneficial.
That's so key. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I was just thinking, oh, Lisa, who was it that you talked to that talked about like getting on the floor and, you know, seeing things in a different way? Again, that can change our brain. And thankfully, there's some other really great ways that we can change our brain. And of course, it has to do with how we fuel our bodies and how we fuel our brains. There has been the most research in looking at, you know, what ways of eating and what nutrients are important for our brain is a diet. And again, I hesitate to use the word diet, but again, it's a way of eating that is called the MIND diet. So it's a modification of like the Mediterranean style diet that has a ton of research on it for our heart health and our cardiovascular health. And it's just a little bit of a shift in terms of really increasing the amount of vegetables, the amount of nuts for those healthy fats, and also looking at getting enough omega-3s, using olive oil, and having berries, because again, the nutrients in berries are really key. It does encourage the reduction of sweets and pastries. It does have a little bit of a high level. It wants to reduce the amount of red meat that you have, and not like, you know, completely cutting it out, but it's just less than 4 servings per week of red meat. Reducing cheese and fried foods, reducing butter. So we'll put this in the show notes, the kind of the breakdown of the MIND diet as compared to the Mediterranean diet. The great thing is that there's some really fantastic research that's been done where it's followed women over a number of years looking at the MIND diet and how it reduces the aging of the brain. So, you know, just to kind of give you an idea, they compared hundreds of women who followed the MIND diet and also hundreds of women who didn't. And over 5 years, the difference in, you know, the kind of the cognitive decline or the age was 7.5 years. So, and this is in, you know, women who, you know, had perfectly healthy, fine brains going into it. So that's really cool. But even if you're not necessarily having a healthy brain, if you're already experiencing some mild cognitive impairment, they found that actually following the MIND diet, there was an even bigger difference if there's already some of those cognitive declines that are happening before you switch over to the MIND diet. So there was actually almost a 10-year difference in cognitive aging between, you know, people who are following it and not following it. So really fantastic to know that, again, we have the ability to really impact our brains by how we fuel our body.
Mm-hmm. And you'll notice a lot of those foods have protein, healthy fat. And when people tend to restrict calories and diet, and unfortunately in perimenopause, a lot of women are going on a lot of diets because they're noticing their body composition is changing. They might be accumulating more weight in the midsection. But we need to be careful, right? Because if you're restricting the nuts, the seeds, the fish, you know, I always wonder when there's studies on red meat and butter, you know, is it grass-fed beef? Is it grass-fed, you know, cows that were fed grass that are producing, you know, to make the butter? I always wonder that's more anti-inflammatory in general, but it's looking at getting the good nourishing foods for your body. And we know as naturopaths, getting in raw nuts and seeds is really important too, because when you roast them, it does change the fat content and they can be more inflammatory. But that's so powerful just through those nutritional changes, you can reduce the aging of your brain by like 7.5 to 9.5 years, depending on, you know, your baseline cognition when you start. So that's pretty powerful, right? And we talked about the effects blood sugar has on the brain. So we know if you have like a high glycemic breakfast, you perform worse on cognitive tests. And if you have a high waist circumference, you're more likely to perform worse on cognitive tests as well. So you want to include some good protein, some healthy fat, some good fiber in there, and not just have your, you know, glass of orange juice with that sweet pastry. That's not going to fuel the brain and you're not going to remember things as well.
Absolutely. Like you said before, Lisa, our brains need sugar, our brains need glucose. And you really have to watch, you know, how you are introducing that sugar into your body. Are you getting a big spike and then a drop because you're having that insulin response to lower your blood sugar? Or are you having a nice, steady, slow release of sugar into your bloodstream and a more stable level? And that's where enough protein, enough healthy fats, complex carbohydrates, especially fiber, really does provide those more stable levels. And so, you know, again, preventing that insulin resistance or pre-diabetes, because that kind of, you know, impaired sugar tolerance or glucose tolerance really has an impact on the brain. And again, that's even, you know, I was interested to kind of see that given, you know, my little experiment with my continuous glucose monitor, which I'll be, you know, talking about in a future episode too. You know, that was definitely one of my pieces where, okay, I have this family history of diabetes. I really want to make sure that I do have this steady blood sugar, not only to kind of reduce that possibility in the future of diabetes, but now, especially when I see this information too and think about the impact of the brain, I want a healthy brain as I age. You know, I don't want to have, you know, these possibilities of, again, kind of, you know, decreased cognitive issues or, you know, cognitive issues and decreased ability to really use my brain. I want my brain to really age gracefully as well. And that's where not only looking at blood sugar, but then also looking at how we move our body. There was recently a really cool study where they had women, again, follow that MIND diet and also watched their calories while they were following the MIND diet. So they were working with a dietitian to make sure that they were getting all of those healthy foods, again, with, you know, within reason and with certain portions. And they were also doing exercise, you know, and it was, you know, 60 minutes on a treadmill, you know, three times a week. And there was really significant improvements in cognitive function seen. So, and that was also completely independent of their hormone levels. So again, we already talked about how, you know, estrogen can have this protective effect on our brains, but, and even as our estrogen level drops as we age, we can still really support our brain. It may make sense to look at doing some hormone therapy, and you don't have to. There's the really the benefits of the foods that you fuel your brain and your body with and moving your body on a regular basis, which is really key.
Yeah, we can take back some of that power, right? It's not all downhill from here. And you can apparently teach an old dog new tricks, just maybe not right during, you know, late perimenopause. Give her a little bit of time and then she'll pick those up. But, you know, there has been some supplementation or some supplements studied. There was a soy supplement with 60 milligrams of isoflavones that was given over 12 weeks. And they found an improvement in certain cognitive domains. I'm not saying go out and take a soy supplement, but I think there's going to be more research in this area. We definitely know if your diet's higher in inflammation. So there's the dietary inflammatory index score. So if you had a higher score, there was that's associated with a 1.8 times increased risk of mild cognitive decline in postmenopause. Omega-3, so they looked at an elderly population in Norway who already ate a lot of fish, and they added some extra fish in over 12 weeks. So they had weekly sardines, anchovies, and they were given an additional omega-3 supplement with 2.2 grams of omega-3. Some of you might want to know the amount. They had the control diet. It was interesting. So they had a modified MIND diet, but they were given meatballs. So I guess that red meat and texturized soy protein. So that's interesting. But the intervention group after 12 weeks had an improvement in cognitive scores that were significant. So we do know, you know, the brain really needs healthy omega-3 to function properly. We know omega-3 reduces inflammation. So I'm sure it's helping in that respect as well.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, there's some research that's been done on things like resveratrol, isoflavones. And this is the real key piece of like looking at these polyphenols, these antioxidants that we find in fruits and vegetables that give it that colorful appearance, you know, provide that color in those fruits and veggies. And I think, again, that's really key because they're even finding that there's, even if you're not taking any supplements, but the more you have more berries or more fruits and vegetables in general, it reduces your risk of dementia. It improves, you know, scoring on cognitive tests. You know, there's been studies that looked at, you know, having a serving of blueberries more than once a week or strawberries twice a week. And that's been associated with a delay in that aging of your brain, equivalent to 2.5 years. So it's, and when it comes to fruits and vegetables in general, you know, for every 100 grams of fruits and vegetables you increase in your diet, there's a decrease of 13% in reducing, dementia. So it really is about looking at, okay, you may want to look at supplements, and there may be more research down the road on supplements, but the more you can increase those polyphenols, those flavonoids, those antioxidants, the better. Oh, and that also include cocoa, which was amazing to see.
So I'm going to bring on the chocolate.
Bring on the chocolate. I'm going to keep putting cocoa powder in my hemp protein power bowls. So there you go.
Love it. I'm going to have my dark chocolate after lunch every day. And then the matcha tea has been shown as well to have a high level of the flavonoids to really support cognition, to reduce mental fatigue and improve mental processing. So these are all good things to add in. So bottom line, more fruits and vegetables, lots of healthy fats from fish and nuts and seeds. Get in your cocoa, a bit of healthy, you know, dark chocolate, maybe a cup of matcha tea every day. This is all going to help. And, you know, we didn't talk about alcohol, but I think it's a no-brainer, pun intended. But we know it is not only a toxin for the brain, but it's also a sugar, right? So we know that's definitely influencing cognition. And just ask anybody who, you know, had a lot of drinks the night before, you know, you don't remember things, you forget things, and the brain is definitely not firing on all cylinders the next day. So yes, resveratrol in red wine, but you could get it from other sources without those other harmful components.
Absolutely. So again, it really is, you know, looking how you fuel your body, moving your body, keeping active in multiple ways, physically, and keeping your brain active too. I think that really, you know, sums it up in terms of, okay, it might be a little rocky for a bit, and there's light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right. You can still learn some new things.
Perfect. All right, Lisa, are you ready to shift gears and share your supermom moment?
I am, yeah. So Stuart's now, he's turning 6 actually at the end of February. So he's at the age, which is really awesome. When he goes to lessons, he does it on his own now. You know, it was fun when you'd have to take, you know, parent and taught like swimming lessons and things like that. But it just means, you know, get him ready to go in the pool. I get him ready to skate or to play soccer. And then I have that time to do what I want. And I've been taking advantage of moving my body during that time because it's so easy to just kind of sit. And I feel like I'm sitting so much during the day. So I might look a little odd, but I'm that parent walking around the track that runs around the soccer field, or I'm that parent just walking back and forth up and down the stairs at the skating arena, or I'm doing some yoga stretches on the bleachers during Stuart's swimming lesson. So I'm really trying to be intentional about how I'm using that time, because for me, it just feels good to move my body, but doing what you can during that time that you really enjoy. I know some people love bringing a book. I love moving my body. So that's my super mom moment. And Tony, I know you're doing a great job, but can you think of a mess up?
Yeah, for sure, Lisa. It was just last week. Again, as the kids are getting older, as Frankie's getting older, she's still a bit of an early riser. And just because she gets up doesn't mean I absolutely have to get up, because, again, she can kind of entertain herself for a little bit in the morning before it's time to get going. And the other morning, she let me sleep in, which was amazing. And then it was just a little bit more rushed to get things going in the morning. So, you know, it was one of those, you know, double-edged swords of getting a little bit of extra sleep. But then it was just not necessarily fun to get ready and get out the door that morning, too. So, oh, well, again, learning lesson for sure.
That's right. I know there's always like something, right? We always have to pay the price in some way. So
absolutely, for sure. So Lisa, what's your mama must have for this week?
Yeah, so I've been hearing a lot about the Art Hub for Kids YouTube channel, but I hadn't checked it out. And then Stuart and I were doing some, you know, Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year crafts. And I was like, oh, let me see how we can draw like a rabbit or something related to the Chinese New Year. So the Art Hub for Kids YouTube channel popped up with a tutorial on how to draw like a cute little rabbit. So we did that. And then we also made little red envelopes. So that one was on Art Hub for Kids, but the drawing ones definitely are there. So I think that's a good channel for adults too, because I not the best drawer. So that's nice to, they break it down step by step, and it's amazing the end product, just, you know, doing those little steps, how good it looks. So definitely check out Art Hub for Kids YouTube channel. And Stuart's now at the age where he's more interested in that. And Tony, what's your mama must have?
Very cool, Lisa. My mama must have for this week is, you know, just the secondhand stores that can be in your neighborhood. We have a great secondhand store in our neighborhood that has a lot of great kids' shoes and clothing, and also some of the different learning toys. So definitely, you know, this weekend, Frankie's been working on her ABCs more. So we went and looked for some different things that really helps to have her exercise and work on her ABCs. And it's just easier to do that, and you save a little bit of money, and great for the environment to do that kind of recycling and using of you know, hand-me-downs and secondhand things. So definitely that's my mama must have for this week.
I love it. And I think we mentioned there is a company here in Toronto called Ode to Toy. So they're selling used toys. So that's another good resource. But yeah, I love the secondhand stuff, right, Tony? They grow so quick and they get so sick of toys so quickly. So why buy brand new? And then you're doing good for the environment. I love it.
Absolutely. So now I'll share with you what else is happening for us. So my next hypnobirthing session for expecting parents looking to decrease fear and anxiety around labor and to really support their natural instincts around labor and birth is happening next month. So you can join me at hypnobirthingcalgary.com/register. And you can join Dr. Lisa's new Facebook group, Wild Woman Adventures Toronto, if you want to get out in nature and connect with other women and push yourself out of your comfort zone. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really love to know that there's a lot of women out there who are really getting a benefit from all of these episodes. You can check out our show notes at perimenopausalmamas.com. We'd love for you to subscribe. Leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And you can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. And you can also support us by telling your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Until next time.
Bye. Bye.